word of the Lord this morning comes to us once again from Luke 11, verses 1 through 13. We're going to go back to the parable we already looked at that follows this prayer. And a word of note as we look at this text, I do realize I'm using the ESV. And if you talked about the differences between these texts, between Matthew and Luke, and what's going on here, and I want to point out another thing to note about the differences and why it's important to recognize them, but why it's also important to recognize the harmonization that took place in the King James and the New King James between the two. First, the reason they can be harmonized is we, once again, do not have prayers that conflict. So kids, once again, young people, you run into those people who say, yeah, the Bible's all full of errors. You say, no, these prayers don't conflict. They're easily harmonized. But other commentators have pointed out an important thing about the differences, and that is, and particularly today as we talk about asking for our daily bread, Jesus did not give his apostles a rote incantation that they are supposed to say in order to magically earn benefits from God. And so by having these differences and recognizing the differences, we see beautifully that when we're called to pray our Father in the beginning, we're called into a conversation with our Father. So let us stand. Now that you found this passage, the word of the Lord for us this morning. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And when he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up to give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, to him it will be opened. What father among you, if his sons ask for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord for us this morning. You may be seated. Let us pray and ask God to help us understand. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look across this vast span of time from these words until now, we ask that you would help us to understand, not because of our smarts, not because of our education, not because of our understanding, but because of the power of your Holy Spirit. And we ask that we would receive more than information, but that your word would transform us by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that in hearing your word, we would look more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. As we look forward to the day when we will be transformed and our lowly bodies will be like his. We'll know to sin no more, to praise you forever. In the name of Jesus, who is the Word incarnate, we pray. Amen. The History Channel has a TV show called Alone. And if you've ever seen this show Alone, what they do is they grab certain people that think they know how to survive in the wilderness. They ask them, what do you think you need to survive in a bag, oh yay big? You pack those things and nothing more. and we will dump you either in the Patagonia on the edge of Argentina in the wilderness before winter comes down there, or we'll dump you up in Alaska. We'll dump you somewhere. And you have to survive in the wilderness on what you can supply for yourself. And that show comes down to one person at the end who survives. Everyone else has to tap out. Eventually, they lose so much weight, or they get sick, or they can't find food, or they're too cold, or they miss their loved ones so much that they hit a remote radio signal, and off comes a boat, and out people come to grab them and bring them back to safety until there's only one person left, the one lone survivor. But here's the dirty secret about any of those survival shows. The lone survivor is not the lone survivor. The lone survivor is just the one that lasts the longest. Because that person could not survive. They always grab them before winter hits. They always grab them before the worst. Sure, they freeze. Sure, there's snow. Sure, there's difficulty. But they don't last and provide them for themselves in the wilderness all the way through. Bear Grylls on his TV show has to put a disclaimer on the front that he actually stays in a hotel at night and has a camera crew and eats good food. All these shows have people out there in camera crews in the wilderness. You watch that show because it's intriguing to think you could survive in the wilderness on your own, to see people do it, but we realize that we cannot. In the context of the Lord's Prayer today, in this petition, give us each day our daily bread. We are to hearken back to the wilderness experience of the people of Israel and realize that we are not sufficient unto ourselves. We're going to look at this petition in three ways today. First, who we are as recipients. Then we're going to look at what are the provisions God gives us. And finally, we're going to be driven to look at the provider, who God is that provides for us. So first, as I've already mentioned, the words each day, at least in the Luke version of this, and the reference to daily bread should have us thinking back to God's providing manna in the wilderness. In Exodus 16, verse 4, the people are in the wilderness, they've been led out, they're grumbling, they're hungry, and God says to them in verse 4, after they've just been talking about how hungry they are, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather each day's portion every day, that I might test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And so, when we hear this particular wording, give us each day our daily bread, we're supposed to think about this. We're supposed to think about when Jesus talks about bread coming down in John 6, 32, he's talking about that manna. Why is it important that Jesus is raising this request for our daily bread in the context of wandering in the wilderness in Egypt? It shows us just how deeply needy we are. The people, the Hebrew people, redeemed from the land of Egypt, this place that still today in its ruins is a tourist destination, this marvelous looking place, God brings them out. Where does he bring them? He brings them into a wilderness. There's all sorts of other directions they could have gone to the promised land, but going into the wilderness, they are shown just how dependent they are on God. No way could they ever say, God got us out, but look where we brought ourselves to. Not only that, when they're in the wilderness, they disobeyed and had to spend 40 years in there. You know what happened to their shoes over 40 years? They didn't wear out. My shoes always wear out. Maybe it's because I'm 200 and some pounds, but 40 years, their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out, and bread continued to rain down from heaven in a place where there is no abundance of food. I'm always struck when I look at the dietary laws in Leviticus. If I was God letting them out, I would say, if it creeps, crawls, eat it. You got to find something out there, stick it in your mouth and survive. But before they go into the wilderness, God gives them dietary laws and says, don't eat and don't eat and don't eat, because he's about to show them, I'm going to give you something to eat. And it's not by your provision, it's by my hand alone. And so for us, as with the Hebrews in the wilderness, we are utterly dependent upon God's grace. And that includes the basic daily physical needs that we have. We don't wander in a wilderness in sandals, but we are wandering in a place that is not our home, looking forward to our true promised land. And I'm sure each and every one of us know what it means to be dry and weary, working hard after our own bread day in and day out. And in this wilderness world, God says, you might have works and you might have smarts and you might have muscles and you might have ingenuity, but where did it come from? In this wilderness world, I give you all things. Ask me for your daily bread. Ask me for your daily bread. Now, it's important here. There's this whole thing called worm theology. And I know there's a couple passages in the Bible where God's people are referred to as worms. But we can have this worm theology perspective and we're like, oh, woe is me, God. And we have to beg God just to get the basics because we are so needy. But we need to realize in this prayer and in the parable that follows, we do not petition God for our daily bread with a beggarly neediness. We petition God with a childlike need. And that is a dependent trust. Jesus in Luke 18, he welcomes the children to have the kingdom. You have to be like one of these children. Do we have childlike trust for God for salvation and the big things, but then forget to have childlike trust for God for the basics that are laid on our table? And we don't do so as beggars with a street sign holding it up to heaven. We'll pray for food. We come before God and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, who purchased us by his blood to make us children in your kingdom, we're hungry today, Father. We need food on the table. We need something in the bank account so we can provide. Not because of us, but because you're our Father. Now notice, we skip down to the parable. We've talked about this when we first looked at this prayer. But when we look down into the parable, we have this awkward situation. There are no true hotels. There are no Red Lion off of Central by 85 and Highway 80. And so if travelers were to come, they would come to a house and they had a reasonable expectation that you have to shelter me. I'm one of your people. They didn't have a cell phone to call. They didn't have bus schedules, train schedules, flight schedules. They didn't have set freeway speeds that they know that if I'm traveling at 75 miles an hour up I-25, I'm going to get there at X time. And who knows what could happen traveling these rough, gravelly ways on donkey or on cart or just by foot. And so your guest shows up in the middle of the night and they're desperately hungry, and unfortunately, McDonald's wasn't invented yet, so there's no drive-through, and they need food and they need rest. And it is your godly duty to provide, but you weren't expecting them. You didn't even know they were coming. Quick, my neighbor's got some food. Now, you lived in these small huts, and so when small houses, and when you're sleeping, your children are sleeping right next to you. You're all cuddled together on a little floor, mats, and blankets. You start knocking on the door, and the three-year-old, get out of here. There's a child sleeping by me. But I need some bread. I need some bread. Can you have some bread? Now, by that time, the five-year-old's like, Dad, can we play now? What time is it? What's going on? Get out of here. Here's some bread. Take it and leave. This person will give you bread because of your impudence. How dare you knock at my door after dark? That's beggarly neediness. I just need you to do something for me. Do it. Here you go. Get out of here. But by showing us this parable and then following it up by what a true father would do, Jesus is saying that's not how you come in prayer. You come as a child. And what father would give, and notice the list here, of things that a father would give in verse 11 and on. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, would give him a serpent? Realize there, he's asking for a fish. What father would be so rude, not even to not give him anything, but to give him something that in the laws of the Hebrew people is absolutely forbidden and unclean. Not only say, I'm not going to give you anything, I'm going to give you something that makes you unclean before the Lord. He goes on, if he asks for an egg, would give him a scorpion. Once again, something unclean. Not only not giving, but giving something that would defile and make unclean and separate from God. Wouldn't do that. We come before a father. And then, oddly enough, do you notice that this parable stops talking about food and bread? What does the parable shift to? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He shifts to Holy Spirit. What is going on here? If we can come to God and ask him, not just for things and stuff, but ask him for himself, give me your spirit. And he will provide his spirit. He will give to you himself. How then would he not provide for your daily needs? That should bolster your confidence in what you've prayed, not only in all those petitions, but particularly the middle petition about bread. Would God give you the Holy Spirit and then so neglect you that you could not exercise the fruits of the Spirit, leave you in such an impoverished way that you could not love, that you could not give kindness, you could not show generosity, you could not be patient, you could not be loving because you are infirmed and on your way to the grave because you are utterly neglected? Would God do that? I'll give you myself and my spirit, but everything else, no. Would he give you the Holy Spirit and then not give you health and life so that you could exercise the gifts of the Spirit? Of course not. Would he give you his Spirit and then leave you in such a way that you could not put on the full armor of God and stand firm before the devil, leaving you weak, doubting, impoverished? Of course not. And so, if we can ask God for the most important thing, his Holy Spirit, knowing and trusting that he will give it to us because we are his children, how much more then should we trust in all the little daily things, in every one of the petitions of this Lord's Prayer that God will provide if he gives us such a great and wonderful and astounding gift? If he gives us new life, should we not be new children who trust in our new Father? Of course we should. So what are these provisions then in the daily bread that we get? First, daily bread is basic. Daily bread is basic. And so we can't say to God, hey, I've got the basics of life. You just handle the big stuff. And how many of us pray that way? We go on, I'm going to get up in the morning, make coffee, breakfast, all this stuff, all the work that I do for myself and balance my checkbook because I've worked and take care of that. Oh, and by the way, Lord, my aunt is really struggling. Please be with her in this difficult situation. Or I've got a big project at work. Now I better get on my knees and pray because as this big project comes, dear Lord, help me not to mess up. Help my job to be successful. And then once that big project is gone, once that big thing has passed, then we go on as if we can provide for ourselves on the basics. But here in asking for daily bread each and every day, we need to remember that the basics are something we need to go to God for every day. We cannot say to God, hey, I've got the basics. You handle the big stuff. And with that, it's important to realize that as much as we're capable, I know I'm preaching up in Wyoming. There's self-reliance, industry, I mean, strong backs, hard work. But there's no reason any of us couldn't be born without some sort of mental deficiency, leaving us utterly dependent upon somebody else. There are smart people in this room. There are gifted people in this room. There are strong people in this room. You did not make yourself gifted. You did not make yourself strong. You did not make yourself powerful. In fact, there's no reason that something couldn't strike any one of us at any moment during this week, leaving us mentally incapacitated and physically incapacitated. Dear Lord, provide for my basics. And we got to realize, in the context here, these people, they didn't get paid like every 2 weeks, and it didn't get automatically deposited into their bank account. At the end of every day, they had to get that pay from the person who they were working for. When they got that pay at the end of the day, then they had to scrape together to make sure they had their daily food. Just think about the apostles walking through a field, rubbing a head of wheat together just to get a little bit of grain to eat. That's their life. And if God was protecting and providing those people, how much in our abundance should we not be dependent upon him for the basics? On top of that, daily bread is good. Daily bread is good. We can't say to God, you've given me less than I deserve. I don't think anyone can. I haven't met anyone that can say that. I've met people that say that, but we can't. I've asked Robin if I could share this story first, because it's her experience, not mine. But Robin lived in a place where she would walk past Great Harvest Bread Company from her apartment to the bus stop. And she said, you just smell the bread before you got there. And it just drew you right into the front door of Great Harvest Bread Company. And then you'd have this nice warm loaf of bread that you could take home to your apartment. You could even eat it on the bus on the way back to the apartment. Bread is good. Do you notice that not only do we have a description of what manna looked like, we have it was sweet and tasted like coriander. It made oil cakes. What a good food. How many people could just fill up on bread at a table at a restaurant when it comes? Bread is a good food. And we can't go to God and say, you give me less than I deserve. By asking for bread, we get the basics that we need, and we get things that are good. Finally, in the context of this each day our daily bread, the wilderness, daily bread is about ongoing providence. We can't say to God, what have you done for me lately? The great thing about bread and what makes bread such a staple around the world, unlike strawberries, it doesn't have a season. Unlike mangoes, it doesn't have a season. Unlike most produce, it doesn't have a season. You can store that grain and grind that grain and have bread all year long. And in particular, for the Hebrew people wandering in the wilderness, every morning, and then on the morning before the Sabbath, a double share, so that every morning, even on the Sabbath, each day, God gave them their daily bread. We have this perpetual God who will provide for us perpetually. We never have to worry about waking up one day and hearing an obituary. Yahweh has died. It's all up to you now. It will never happen. God lives forever. And one of his attributes is providence. And so where his attributes are, they are forever. His providence will never, ever, 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 ever cease. Check with me tomorrow. It's still true. Will never cease. Daily bread is basic. We ask for those basic needs, and we can trust that he will provide them. Our daily bread is good. Daily bread is about ongoing providence. But I'm guessing you might have a little bit of an objection at this point, because I've heard people object. So we got two quandaries I want to think about. The first quandary you might have when we think about, daily bread and God's providence and providing for everybody, you might want to say to yourself, well, what about all the suffering and need in the world? I see people that don't look like they get what they need. We need to remember this is a prayer, and God is not obligated to us. This is a prayer, not a requisition form. But even with that, if we're praying to him for our basic daily needs, and especially as his children, should we not expect that our basics will be met? Now, I'm not saying T-bone steak every night, and I'm not saying chocolate cake every night, and I'm not saying cookies in your lunchbox every day. But our daily bread. The question isn't why is there so much suffering and need in the world? The question should be, why isn't there so much more suffering and need in the world? Why does the rain fall? Why do the cattle get fat in Wyoming? Why do we get to eat the fat of the land? And even when we don't honor him. I want to show you a picture of a grateful lady here. I don't know her. Doesn't say her name. But look at that smile on her face. This is a martyr, or someone who has been killed but is suffering in a place and persecuted for her faith. I wish I had a smile that big on my face. And notice what's down here. As she has a child strapped to her back, she has to go somewhere just to get a bag of food, a bag of grain, and a box of goods to eat. When I was in seminary and I had to use the seminary food pantry, I was indignant. Don't they know I'm in seminary training to be a pastor? How dare they send me to a food pantry in a seminary basement? My face didn't look like her face. And there are millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of our brothers and sisters around the world that are living on very, very, very basic daily needs. And they are thankful to the Lord because he is providing. He does care. And even those that absolutely reject the Lord, the rain falls on the righteous and the wicked alike. I know of a guy, we'll call him Daryl. Daryl would never pray to the Lord. He hates God, and he will tell you. He can't stand the fact that I'm a Christian, and he can't stand the fact that people are around him as a Christian, and he blames God for his poverty and what he doesn't have. And what Daryl doesn't realize is he lives in a home that he can't afford, that he hasn't bought, because a Christian brother and sister in Christ provides for him. And he doesn't go out and buy his own groceries because other Christians buy his groceries for him, even though he uses expletives in their face when every day and claims that he has to bike to work and he doesn't have a real life and he doesn't have a real living, and every day he eats and drinks and has a roof over his head. God does provide. So when we see this prayer request, do not let that doubt and temptation slip into your head. Oh, there's so much need in the world that God really doesn't meet our needs. God meets our needs. The other quandary you might have when it comes to asking just for the daily bread, what if I'm not sure that my prayer request is for my daily bread or needs? Am I praying for daily bread or needs, or am I praying for something extra? Or what if I know that those desires or needs are not for daily bread? They're superfluous. Can I still ask God for a trip to Hawaii with my sister? Well, first, what if you don't know it's your daily needs? I know a guy had a job, made him work extra hours, was hardly with his kids, but he realized he was getting paid and he did want a new job and he did want to do something different so he could be with his family and could serve in the church. But he didn't want to seem ungrateful. And he said, you know, Pastor, it says I'm supposed to just pray for my daily bread, and I have it. Am I sinning by asking God for a new job? And I said, well, look, if God gives us our basics, and you pray for it, knowing that he gives you your basics, and anything else is a blessing, let's say you do get the new job. It's not because you're smart, it's because God meets your basics, and he blesses you above and beyond. You better be thankful for that answer. On top of that, he gives you good things. So if you get a new job, he's going to do so because he's caring for you, not because he's indifferent to you. And you get that new job, you better keep depending on his providence. So yes, ask God, like, I don't know if this is my daily bread, but my job is not going well and I can't love my family right. I need a new job, or whatever. Those things that you're not sure if they're daily bread. You can pray for them because you know that God meets your basic needs, gives you good things, and his providence is always ongoing. Finally, what if you just want to go with your sister to Hawaii? Bear the desires of your heart before the Lord, knowing that first you have to ask for your daily bread. And if God's, and if you are end up in a position and you do get to go with your sister on a trip to Hawaii, God first gives you your basics. He's going to give you the good things. And if he says no, you don't get to go to Hawaii, he gives you good things. He's not doing this because he's mean and he wants to harm you and treat you bad. When God says no to our prayer request, always remember, God gives me my basics. He gives me my good things, and I can always look for him to provide in the next day. Just because he didn't meet this prayer request doesn't mean he stopped answering anything. In fact, God always answers our prayer requests. He says yes, no, and wait. There's not a situation in which God does not answer our prayers. He always answers. This teaches us then, ultimately, that in this petition, by implication, we are asking God to give us contentment. Philippians 4:10-13. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me, where you were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know now how to be brought low and I know how to abound. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. When we're asking for our daily bread, we're asking for contentment. And when God gives us more than our daily bread, it better lead us to thanksgiving and praise. So who is this provider? Because we're dependent on God, and so should drive us to the hand of the giver. When we're asking for our daily bread, and we see in this parable that follows, our Father knows our frame and the nature of our need. He knows that we are feeble as grass, that we are but dust, but he provides. He knows that there is a time when we will no longer be able to lift our hands and provide for ourselves and fill our bank account and our pantry. He knows that there is a time when ultimately we will be carried 3x3 and laid low. He knows our frame. And not only does he know our physical infirmity and our need, he knows that our need is a sinful neediness. Proverbs 30, verses 9 through 10. Solomon says, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane your name. He knows in our need we're prone to sin. We're going to take, we're going to covet, we're going to be the kind of people that will cheat, take more than is ours. We'll run over other people thinking we're providing for our needs. In fact, even in James, talking about prayer in James 4:1-3, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you, your desires, and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. And you do not have because you do not ask, and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So when it comes to providing for our needs, God knows not only our weakness of our frame, he knows the sin that is part of our weakness. And what does God do in response? He doesn't just give us our daily bread. He first gives us the bread of life so that we can put this prayer upon our lips, so that we can go and call on him as our Father, and in so doing, knowing that he will provide. I mean, what good is it to have all the provisions of the world and yet not have the bread of life? What would you rather have? To stroll into the gates of hell happy and fat in a three-piece suit? Or infirmed, ribs sticking out at the gates of heaven? What would you rather be? And when we have the bread of life, then we have a Father we can go to. And without the bread of life, there is no Father to go to. And the daily bread that we have is something we think we fight for, strive for, battle for, earn on our own. So we ask that God would meet our daily needs now. But I want us to remember that as we ask for these daily needs, our daily bread each day, we also do so in a way that we look forward to a time when the bountiful blessings will be the eternal norm. Psalm 23, listen to what our provider does for us at the end. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies and anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What happened to Israel and Joshua? Where'd the manna go? They were eating that manna and complaining about that manna and getting sick of that manna, even though it was coming down from heaven every day. And once they entered the promised land and took the bountiful produce of the land, what stopped? The manna stopped. Why? Because God had brought them in and given them the produce of the land. Think back to those original spies carrying grapes on a stick between two men. That prefigures for us that one day we will not be asking as children for those daily bread basics. One day we will belly up to a table of bountiful blessings that will be there forever and forever. So ask of the Lord, knowing that he will provide greatness for you in the future. Knowing that each and everything we have is a blessing now. Because he gives us the basics. He gives us the good things. And his providence is ongoing until we see him face to face. And his providence will be most direct. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we think about the bread that we need for daily life, may your word be the bread that we feed upon each and every day. Send us out with our appetites wet so that each day we want to dine on your word. We ask that you would give us a heart for your word so that we would not just look to the things and stuff of you, but we would seek you first and then all your benefits. We pray these things to you, Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.